In Australia, finally some relief today. Rain.
Oh yeah! Woo!
A little hooting and hollering on the front porch of a home in Canberra as a steady downpour fell on the Australian capital. But that's after months of unprecedented heat and drought that have stoked massive bushfires. A little rain today has not ended that. The BBC's Shaima Halil is reporting from fire-ravaged communities across Australia. She spoke with The World's Carol Hills about being on the front lines of the fires.
Shaima, you were recently on Kangaroo Island, one of Australia's most well-known wildlife sanctuaries. The wildlife park owner, Sam Mitchell, he was told to evacuate, but he decided to stay to try to defend the animals there. Here's what he told you.
You know, when you see people come running through our doors with a koala wrapped in a blanket with severe burns, and they're hysterical. They want to do everything they can for these animals, but we can't save those that are too far gone.
What was the damage at the conservation park?
Fire came very, very close to them. And he said at one point the wind changed direction and they were spared. However, the island itself has suffered such extensive damage that now there are fears that half of it, about 200,000 acres, have been completely destroyed by the fires. The western part of the island, Flinders Chase, which is home to the national park, and it's one of the most important wildlife havens, not just in Australia, but in the world, because it is home to native species that have lived on the island for centuries. Scientists were telling me it was like traveling back in time because these species were so pure. And now it's been destroyed. Very grave concerns about the future of these species, because either some of them have perished in those fires, or those who've survived, there'll be no food, no water, no shelter for them.
What's been the toll on the people trying to save the animals?
You see people absolutely breaking down in tears. You know, I've spoken to a couple in one of the evacuation centers. They had actually lived on the border of Flinders Chase, so they could see the national park. And when they talk about how beautiful it was, how you could see koalas on trees, and how it just completely turned into black ash from something to nothing, their house was completely destroyed. But they went back to try and save animals. All they were telling me was, all we care about now is the animals.
You've been covering the fires for weeks now. What's the scene after a fire has come through? I mean, how do people begin to rebuild?
Oh, you know, the one thing that actually stays with me every time I go into a scene is the silence. Because you walk into a scene after a fire and it's just dead silent. There is smoke. The earth is still very hot. It's smoldering. It's black. It's ash. There are remains of what used to be a house, but there's nothing there and it's silent. I think the other thing that really stays with me is that without fail, the people who've taken me through these sites of devastation of what used to be their homes, they point to things like, they'd say, here's the lounge, here's the pantry that my husband built, this is where we used to hang out and watch television. It's really, really personal.
Shaima, you interviewed wildlife keeper John Marsh at a sanctuary in southeastern Australia. He's angry at the government's response to the fires.
Hopefully, this disaster is going to influence the government to stop just putting development and money before environment and sentient beings.
Shaima, is this something you're hearing a lot of? I mean, are people recovering from the fires making the connection between the government's environmental policies?
Many of them are. There is a big push now for the government to engage in the climate change issue, which is something that they've been reluctant to do. The Prime Minister has addressed it a couple of times. We have yet to see specific plans and specific policies about climate change, which is what everybody's debating now and which the government hasn't provided yet.
Peak fire season in Australia has only just started. Fire conditions are expected to continue for months. How are people coping with that?
There is very little that you can do in the face of a raging fire, especially if it grows to a point where it's uncontrollable or if it joins with another fire. One of the things that one of the firefighters told me when I told him, you know, what are you going to do next? What happens in the next few weeks? He just looks at me and looks in the sky and he says, we pray for rain, because unless we have a substantial change in the weather, unless it rains in a way that will change the situation on the ground, this is just going to continue to happen.
Shaima Khalil is a BBC reporter based in Sydney. Thanks a lot, Shaima.
Great to be with you, Carol.